You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss sports podcast with Ben Garrett and Billy Embody of the Ole Miss Spirit.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Talk of Champions. I am Billy Embody. With me is Ben Garrett on this Monday in the Riverland Roofing Studio. What is up, brother?
The Riverland Roofing Studio's New Albany branch.
Got to get used here to saying that.
Yep, the New Albany branch, because we got the studios just off the Oxford Square. Keith Carter, Ole Miss Athletics Director, was in those studios on Friday. Go check out that interview wherever you get your podcasts, here on YouTube or Spotify. Just search Talk of Champions, and it'll be there. Much more to come as we get closer and closer to football season. I think last I looked, 10 Saturdays away from, is it 9 now?
Nine.
I saw you mouth nine, even though you're on mute. So 9 Saturdays until Ole Miss football returns, and we'll be doing so much from the Riverland Roofing Studios. And we want you, the Ole Miss fan, to come join us for many, many of those events. So be on the lookout for that. Be plugged into both Talk of Champions and also the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com and Fit of On 3. The website Bill and I both write for, but Riverland Roofing powers everything we do. Riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. For all your roofing needs, it's Riverland Roofing. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss in the name, image, and likeness space, NIL. So thanks to them.
And a huge week as well. On 3 just announced we are bringing on Brett McMurphy as well, legend of the game, to the On 3 network. So a huge deal around here as the On 3 Rivals merger starts to bring on some big names and things like that. So we're excited to get a bunch of new Ole Miss fans on the site starting July 1st as well. So looking forward to meeting everyone there. But Brett McMurphy kicks off what is a huge week for On 3. But look, Ole Miss baseball is the one that had the big weekend, Ben. Dom Decker, the man, is now the 8th transfer for Ole Miss baseball this weekend, which was a busy one as well for softball. But Murray State's Dom Decker joins the Rebels. And Ben, this is one you spoke about on the site. You had a story up. This is massive news for the Rebels.
It's something that Ole Miss has been looking for, a middle infielder, for a couple of weeks now. It's something we've been talking about at the Ole Miss Spirit of remaining needs after they'd committed 6 or 7 out of the transfer portal. What else is left for them? You knew they were wanting to continue to add pitching. They added to that, and they've gotten a strong collection of pitchers and a number of candidates, both for the weekend rotation and to fill out in the bullpen. Some intriguing storylines as we now approach July, not just with the On 3 Rivals merger, but also with Ole Miss baseball and the draft. A lot of what this roster will look like is going to be decided in the next couple of weeks with the MLB draft, which is July 12th and 13th. Ole Miss is working to bring back Hunter Elliott, potentially Connor Spencer, their closer, who has another year of eligibility potentially because of the Diego Pavila ruling that allowed him to come back another year. And a lot of players, not just in football, but also in baseball and other sports, are trying to take advantage of that as well. Connor Spencer, as it pertains to Ole Miss, is one of those. Judd Uetemark, I expect back. Will Furniss, I expect back. But Dom Decker, they were looking for a middle infielder. Now, they've been searching for a shortstop to kind of add to the competition with Owen Pano and Braden Randall for next year. But shortstops, I was told, according to Ole Miss baseball sources, the pickings have been slim for Ole Miss baseball in the shortstop market. But Dom Decker's a player that immediately slots in and can start somewhere, whether it be at second base where he was predominantly playing for Murray State last year or somewhere else. I figure that second base will be the move because Judd Uetemark has such great positional versatility. Judd can quite literally play anywhere over the field outside of probably shortstop on a day-to-day basis. He could do it in a pinch. And catcher, I mean, I think he could really run out anywhere and played it pretty competently. He's that position versatile. But Dom Decker slides into a starting role immediately. And this isn't the slugger that you're used to seeing maybe Ole Miss go add like it did last year with Mitch Sanford and Ryan Moorman and Isaac Humphrey, who filled out their entire starting outfield. They did that as far as getting sluggers early on with Tristan Pasetia from Clemson, the outfielder who'll be starting probably in right field, and Daniel Pasella, who'll be starting left field. And I'm actually working to bring on this podcast this week. So Daniel Pasella, look out for that, either here in the New Albany branch of the Riverland Roofing Studios or the Oxford branch. But Daniel Pasella is going to be a big slugging component to this, but they needed another table setter, somebody to really get the action started for the middle of that reworked lineup for Ole Miss, and Dom Decker is exactly that. And last month, of course, we all know Decker and Murray State rolled into Oxford for the Oxford Regional as the four seed, and they won it, went to Omaha, the first regional win for them, first super regional win for them, and then first Omaha appearance. And in that Oxford Regional, he was 5-for-17 with 2 RBI, had the go-ahead hit in the opening round to send the Rebels, who were the hosts, to the loser's bracket. He collected 3 hits and 5 at-bats in the regional championship, the first claim by the Racers in their 86 seasons of existence, added an RBI and 3 runs. Again, they ultimately went to the College World Series to Murray State, a tremendous story. And Decker finished the year on a 43-game on-base streak, hit by 15 pitches, second most in a single season in Murray State history, 8 bases. This is a top-of-the-order type guy. And when you can put him, maybe Hayden Federico, a top two, to be followed by Judd and Will and now Tristan Pasetia, Daniel Pasella, you're starting to see the vision, right, of what Ole Miss basketball, or baseball, excuse me, is looking for. And so far, they've really addressed their needs, I think, with aplomb. They've done a tremendous job in this portal specifically of hitting what they needed, which was a total restock of pitchers, regardless of what happens with the MLB draft. And they had to handle the corner outfield because they want Hayden Federico to be in their and be their center fielder next year. But the middle infield, there's still a glaring need there. Of course, a backup catcher would be ideal, a shortstop to compete with Owen Pano and push him, and Braden Randall. So Braden Randall can play all over if he needs to. But you first had to land the middle infielder component, and that land is Dom Decker, which is a really, really good one. And I expect to step in and start immediately. Adds, like you mentioned, to a transfer class that already includes Grant Richardson, the left-handed pitcher from Grand Canyon, who is a weekend starter candidate. Bassetti, Pasella, Will Libert, left-hander from Missouri, who is also a weekend rotation candidate. Mark Cipolla, right-hander from San Diego State, another weekend rotation candidate. Owen Kelly, a right-hander from St. Louis, and Landon Cohen, a right-hander from North Dakota State. It's been a good haul. It's been a solid haul to build on top of a foundation that they expect to bring back. But they had one big glaring need left, and that need was addressed with a really, really good player, I think, in Dom Decker. So a good add, and one that Ole Miss expects to slide in and start immediately.
Yeah, massive news there for Ole Miss, Ben. Great breakdown. And I do want to shout out the guys in the chat. Joseph King checking in from Fulton, Mississippi. Love the show. Ben, Dirty Bird, 9 weeks too long. Ain't that the truth?
Yes.
Payne Bell from Clinton chiming in. We appreciate you guys jumping on board with us this morning as Monday starts a huge week for Ole Miss football recruiting as well. Some big decisions coming down the pipeline. The one on Monday, Ben, that we are all paying attention to Monday afternoon is Landon Barnes, the 4-star defensive end edge prospect from Duncanville, the top 100 prospect, is set to make his decision known to the world on Monday afternoon. He's not going to do a ceremony, not going to do anything crazy from what I understand. Talking with his family, he's just going to go ahead and commit somewhere, which I like it. I like the straightforwardness. He's had a long, winding recruiting process that appears to be favoring Ole Miss at this point. And the finalists, as reported by one of our new teammates or a teammate that's rejoining us, Sam Spiegelman, on July 1st, the finalists, Ohio State, Washington, LSU, Georgia, SMU had also been in the mix, but Randall Joyner has a chance on Monday to deal a big blow to his alma mater, because this is one that in the Dallas area, in SMU's backyard, they were working pretty hard at. But Randall Joyner made a big impact on this official visit, as well as his spring visit, and that kind of catapulted the Rebels up to among his top group of schools. And when you draw up how defensive ends should look, Landon Barnes physically is probably one of the most impressive guys. And the cool thing is he's still a little raw. He's got some steps forward to still take. But from a physicality and a physical makeup perspective, if Ole Miss gets this one across the finish line, it's been a little, you know, here and there, it's been a little crazy. But if they do get this one across the finish line, this would be like an elite body type that Ole Miss would be bringing on board.
He's got great bend. I mean, you can kind of see what they need to work on in terms of initial burst, but setting the edge and bending and breaking down. I mean, he's got that all working for him. And I think you made a really good point there towards the end. The whole thing was a great breakdown of a good player that Ole Miss, I mean, top 100 player that Ole Miss believes can come in and impact winning pretty quickly. But, you know, it has been a tough little stretch for Ole Miss, at least on paper, with players, you know, that they were in on. Going with other schools. So to get some good news to start the week is a big deal. I think Landon Barnes is going to pop. J.C. Anderson is another one we're watching as well, the tight end four-star that Ole Miss has been after from Illinois for a while. He's one we've been teasing as a future commitment for Ole Miss. I believe that's still schedule and is going to happen. He's a top
July 1st.
July 1st. Tomorrow.
So yeah, the same day, right? Tomorrow.
The same day as the rivals joining on three, we got J.C. Anderson probably. I mean, look, I it would shock me if it's anybody other than Ole Miss on July 1st for J.C. Anderson, a four-star and top 150 prospect, according to the on-three industry ranking. And that would be great news to start the week because, again, it has been a little bit of a tough go of things. You know, you saw Steve Wilfong put in a prediction for Nolan Wilson, the in-state, you know, four-star that Ole Miss desperately wants to commit to Alabama. Ole Miss, you know, knows what it has to do to get done, but Nolan Wilson will be in it with him regardless of the noise that happens in June. Knew that Alabama was the main competition, primary competition. That's not going to change regardless if he commits or not. But they have to start getting some momentum on their side. I mean, to be constantly be a finalist or to be left at the altar is really taking hold here. But I think one thing that to explain what's going on is recruiting is going back, reverting back in this world of rev share to more traditional what we were used to seeing with recruiting back in the day when it was a true event, right? When you were paying attention to signing day and you were locked in to see who was going to commit where. And I'll never forget the A.J. Brown. I still got the video of his commitment to Ole Miss over Mississippi State on signing day and the eruption of the Ole Miss quarterback club whenever that commitment did come down, when all would gather around their TV sets and their computers all on the same day to watch and see the LOIs roll in. It's not going to ever get back to that completely, but a lot of what it used to be is coming back because of the, you know, the institution of the rev share and everything that's coming with this new wave. Because I think, you know, and I've seen other national people talk about this, and it's true. One of the lifebloods of college football and our obsession with it and falling on a day-to-day basis was the recruiting piece, which the luster and had kind of been lost with the transfer portal and in terms of falling day-to-day because it really doesn't matter all that much. I mean, oh, you'll get so-and-so in the portal or well, it doesn't matter because we're this in the portal and don't have to worry about this. Now it's the portal component's not going to change, but in terms of high school recruiting and how interesting it will be and how the resources are being poured back into it and the developments that'll be, you know, changing with the wind like they used to be. And there'll be much more intrigue, I think. And you'll have to get used to the roller coaster again. That's what you're seeing right now with guys like Nolan Wilson, with Beaver, who committed to Oregon. I said when he decommitted from his previous school that he's going to go to Oregon. Ole Miss made a real run at him. They want a quarterback. Didn't work out, but they do have a quarterback in Reese Wise committed that they really, really like, right? So you have to consider, even with guys that they might be, quote, missing out on right now, what they are adding. Yeah, they're not, you know, maybe they're not going to get the commitment today from Nolan Wilson, but they fully expect to be in it all the way to signing day and know exactly what they got to do to get it done. And, you know, they've got nothing but good vibes from Nolan Wilson to where, yeah, it might not happen right now, but that shouldn't remove your enthusiasm or remove your excitement or weaken your excitement for a Landon Barnes, who's going to be a huge piece for Ole Miss in this class, a top 100 player, edge player that's going to address the need. J.C. Anderson at tight end. Yeah, you saw Max Sutter commit to Alabama. It almost was among the contenders for him as well. But, you know, J.C. Anderson is every bit the prospect, and if not a little bit more so in the eyes of some schools. So this is part of what we were used to seeing recruiting, right? It was like, well, what happened with so-and-so, and look what's happening here and there. And it's wild. It's chaotic. It's back to what recruiting in high school used to be when you were following the daily developments. And what's true today could change tomorrow. But you're starting to see the effects of the rev share era and how it's trickling down specifically to high school recruiting now take hold and look more, a little bit more like it used to. So get used to the chaotic nature of it again. Have a little fun with it as everyone kind of tries to figure out this new world. But know that regardless of commitments today, even Landon Barnes and J.C. Anderson, the work Ole Miss is going to have to do to get to December signing day. It's going to be the same old fight it used to be in the 2010s, right, when you were paying attention in 2013 to can Ole Miss hold on to Laquon Treadwell and Laramie Tunsil and Robert Kimdichie. Well, they don't just recruit like that for one cycle anymore. They recruit like that for every cycle. Elijah Daniel, remember all those guys, all those names, right? Like it's going to be a fun roller coaster of a ride between now and December. But you're going to see some good news finally the other side of the coin, because Ole Miss has been hit with a lot of, well, crap, I thought so-and-so was coming or so-and-so. And now you're going to start to see some positive momentum the other way. And it, again, it speaks to what the culture is now, the environment is now a lot more like it used to be, which for us is great, you know, because we get to talk about it all the time. But for the Ole Miss fan, it's something you're going to have to rewire your brain to understand again, right? Because if for the last 5 years, high school recruiting changed significantly, and what we cared about and the things that really drove college football interest and fandom were muted because of the change in culture. Well, a lot of that's coming back, and I think that's an exciting thing, but also a little bit more of a dramatic thing that Ole Miss fans are going to have to get back used to again and understand that every single year Ole Miss is recruiting like it did in 2013 when they really changed the game in terms of how they can recruit and sign players. And you know, that's they're in on every major recruiting battle because they believe they're a national recruiting brand, and they are. They've recruited like that every year under Lane Kiffin. But the high school piece is going to be back to, you know, a day-to-day, here's the latest, why it matters, all that stuff. It's coming rushing back now because the rev share piece is going under the hat officially of schools. So I just wanted people to understand that. It's like, I get, you know, the wait a second, what's going on? Beaver's gone. This guy. It's part of the chaotic nature as things transition back to, or the new normal now with rev share for college football, just as it was 5 years ago when high school recruiting took a tremendous back seat, right? Players that otherwise would have been signing with schools, Bill, we're going, you know, JUCO or any, I mean, like the money dried up for them, all this kind of stuff dried up for them. Now it's all kind of being poured back into it. So there's going to be a little bit more chaos, but that's the fun of it. That, we got to remember, that's what we used to like live and die by, right? I remember being plugged into my computer when Brent Schaefer and Kadarius Easton committed on the same day for Ed Orgeron and changed the program, right? Didn't, but a lot of that fun and off-season attention for you, the Ole Miss fan, that a lot of that is coming back. So be on the lookout.
Yeah, I think this is a good kind of segue for me to kind of share a couple thoughts on the whole rev share and recruiting piece of all of this, because you laid it out well where, yes, there's this new era and schools are trying to figure it out, and each school is kind of operating differently because no one knows. No one knows the best practices. No one knows the line to walk, because rev share is new for this high school class. You know, last high school class wasn't involved in anything that they went through as high school prospects. Now, when you go into the summer and you get into official visits, it's a constant conversation with agents, with parents and the schools of, hey, what is my son's and, you know, other sports or whatever, other people rev share going to look like? Like, you get to the point where you're a top 1, 2, 3 school in someone's recruitment, you're having rev share conversations, and you're doing it when, you know, your official visit wraps up. You're doing it all the way leading up until, you know, decision time. And eventually you get a prospect to a point where they're like, all right, cool. I'm in. I'm comfortable with that. And that's still the traditional day and age of recruiting. When it comes to how schools are trying to figure things out with rev share, I think the offensive line for Ole Miss is a really good and bad example at the same time. Like, it's not going well, so it's bad, but it's a good example of how this whole rev share era is kind of being, a difficult thing to navigate. And as a whole, Ole Miss brought in probably from April to the end of June, 60 official visitors, maybe 50 mm-hmm. to 60. And so you could miss on half of those and sign 25 guys, so which would be great. You'd love to have 25 commits right now. Ole Miss is still trying to get to double digits, and they will. We talked about Landon Barnes. We talked about J.C. Anderson. There's a couple others. I'll kind of bookend our talks around prospects and rev share in the middle, and then some more prospects that are still set to make decisions that things are in the right direction for. But you have a need to, and there's a concerted effort to sign a large offensive line class. If you guys were on the site throughout this spring recruiting period and January and all that, I was saying, look, Ole Miss wants to find a way to sign 4 to 5 offensive linemen. And if you look at all the offensive linemen in the state of Mississippi, if you look at all the offensive linemen that they brought in from a national perspective, the effort was there. I bet you it has to be around 15 offensive linemen took official visits to Ole Miss. And right now they only have Ryan Moret, center out of South Florida, a guy they love, a wrestler, a principal's kid, all the things that you want in the center of your football program and the future of your center position for your football program. Ryan Moret appears to be that. And at the same time, you haven't been able to get traction with some of these other top prospects. You know, Ed Baker, who you kind of came on late for, you just couldn't get it there. Ole Miss loses to Tennessee. You have Tyreek Jemison, who you led, and Tyreek has said it, you led for him for the majority of the last 3 months in his recruitment, 2 months really. Kentucky, his first offer, gets him done. You know, Mitchell Smith, in-state, going to end up at Vanderbilt, it seems like. You have all these different names that Ole Miss has been tied to, and some of them, you know, Felix Ojo, you know, leaves his official visit. We say, look, they're a dark horse. It's probably not going to happen. There are others that they've been right in the mix for. They've been right there for, and they just haven't been able to get over the hump. To Ben's point, it's June. It's soon to be July. They don't sign this summer. They sign in December most of the time. And so you have to remember that. But with rev share, when you're approaching these conversations, if you're trying to sign a large position group, if you're having to sprinkle money around to 4, 5, 6 guys and try and agree on rev share, that's worth noting. The right direction might be to eventually take is, all right, we're going to go big on 3 guys. And we hope we get those 3 guys. And, you know, Kamari Blair is still out there in the state of Tennessee, a huge target for Ole Miss. If they get him, you have a tackle and you have an interior guy. And honestly, in this day and age of learning how this all goes, maybe you just take your lump this cycle and you say, okay, all right, we're going to pivot on how we approach this next cycle. We're going to take a little bit more of a targeted approach, even if we know it's a position of need. Like offensive line, high school recruiting, Ben, and we've talked about this, needs to step up. It needs to take that next step and join some of the other positions on this team, like defensive line. I think they're going to sign one of the better secondary classes in the SEC. When you look at who they have with Braylon Williams already committed, you're going after Iverson McCoy, who is set to make his decision known on July 30, actually moved up his decision timeline. That, I think, bodes well for Ole Miss from everything I'm hearing behind the scenes there, and he's another Tupelo prospect. But then get a load of this at the safety position. Jet Goldsberry, a 4-star athlete on 3. NASCAR McCoy, a 4-star on 3. They're trending well for them. Then you have, all right, can you get a Paris Melvin? Can you get, can you flip a Zion Gibson from Alabama? Like, Alabama just landed a 5-star corner. You can bet he's going to be getting plenty of rev share from Alabama. How is that going to impact a Zion Gibson, who's a top 100 player? And then, of course, there's Craig Tutt, another four-star safety who can play corner and safety, still floating out there. So that position, where you know that the secondary right now is a position that needs an upgrade for the future for Ole Miss, there's that opportunity for all those players to come in, and if they do what they can at a high level, they can play early. So you can complement the rev share that is going to be freed up by some of these vets moving on, along with these players that are coming in, getting the opportunity to play early. Defensive line is one of those harder positions where the guys who are getting paid are still going to get paid. Like Oregon money, it's real. You know, like
Yes. They're
making a big move for Deuce Gerolds. At the same time, Ole Miss is right there. That's one they got to have. And at the same time, you got an edge position that with Carmelo Reed, who they love, and Landon Barnes, hopefully here soon, that is a great edge haul. That might be one of the best ones in the country. And so you've got like all of the, there can be things going bad and then things going not so bad and, you know, rather going well at other positions. So you got to manage your own salary cap at each position. And that's the hard part to factor into all this. You can't pay a high school kid a lot of money in 2026 or commit a lot of rev share to them in 2026 when they're going to sit on the bench and not play.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
You're saying the most important piece here, Bill. It's about money on hand. What used to be the old ways of recruiting, right? It was all under the table, but everybody that was getting, they were paying for players and they were getting players. I mean, now it's all above board. So it's about money on hand. You're wondering why LSU can commit Emmanuel Tucker over Ole Miss right now when they both have the same. Yeah, Ole Miss is a school that means what it says and says what it means. If it says we're going to get you this, it does get them that. They have proof of concept, especially compared to counterparts in college football. But LSU can say, well, we've got this now. This is what we have now. And securing commitments early for the momentum piece and for you know, the storyline and the big graphic display and all those kind of things to generate summer stuff because nothing's going on. Like, I get it. Like, some guys are being paid with money on hand now that other schools have. Like, Oregon has so much money on hand for recruiting specifically because the rev share piece doesn't touch high school right now. It's about getting high school players to signing day, right? It's completely separate of the rev share piece. You're not going to see universities dipping into rev share to pay high school recruits. That goes against the NCAA bylines, right, and all those kind of things. No one's saying you can't pay the kids, but you have to generate new revenue streams. Some already have it on hand. Oregon is one of those that has money coming out every single area of their entire existence. So they can go and they can make these moves now. Meanwhile, other schools like an Ole Miss have to take a more, hey, well, this is what we're going to get you to. We're working toward. We're going to get you there by this point. But did they have the money on hand? Not necessarily. It's an active fundraising thing every single day because that's what it used to be. The old days of, hey, can you help chip in with so-and-so? Can you help chip in with so-and-so? And that's what's happening, right? High school's going back to that. But now everyone can talk open and honestly about it rather than pretend that any player was going to any school just because they love so-and-so more than they love the other school, right? Like, doesn't exist. So a lot of what you're seeing right now, like Oregon, of course, committed Beaver, one, because they wanted him, but two, because they can meet the ask right now for whatever he's looking for exactly. We know the number for Nolan Wilson. We know the number for Emmanuel Tucker and other players. Has Ole Miss gotten to those numbers yet? No, but LSU did right now. Well, can they, or they committed a certain amount and allocated a certain amount of money on hand to so-and-so. It's all about the money right now. That's all it's about. And if anybody tells you differently, they're full of crap. And that's why, you know, I've seen it on the board when people are like, Ben, how can you say that if Emmanuel Tucker signs with LSU that Ole Miss will see him in the portal next year? Because that's a part of the calculus too now. Like a lot of and the reason I said about Emmanuel Tucker, because I know the conversations. I'm from New Albany. He's from New Albany. I know everybody's talking to that kid's like, well, one of his very closest people was like, I'll see you in the portal next year. If not, so you committed to Ole Miss between now and December, because things change like that as the money changes like that. It's all about that, right? I mean, it's the old days of, you know, you remember when a kid would pop up and then like all of a sudden he's got like 12 uncles that you got to deal with too. I mean, I'm not saying it's that bad anymore, but like there's representation that pops up that weren't a part of this, right? That like now you got to try to appease so-and-so because now so-and-so has got a little bit more of a pull than you thought going in. All of those considerations that used to all be under the table are now above board. And what that can do is leads you, the Ole Miss fan, to go, good grief, what a wild, wild west, insane thing, but also helps you to block out the noise until December gets here. I'm not saying don't pay attention to it. Don't pay attention to the movements to understand. Like Ole Miss, regardless of what happens with Nolan Wilson, if he does commit to Alabama, as Steve Wilfong is predicting, I still don't consider Alabama any more of a leader than Ole Miss for that recruitment, knowing what the conversations have been like. But it looks good on paper, right? He's a part of the commitment class. But the old days of, well, he's committed, you got to fight for – dude, commitments have never meant less, in my opinion. So I don't care about Gene. I'm not even looking at Ole Miss's commitment class right now. Landon Barnes is a huge piece. Yes, absolutely. A huge commitment that you can get excited about in June, but it's not December yet. And LSU wants him, SMU wants him, and they're right there in Dallas. You don't think they're going to meet the ask or make it even more of a temptation to dip away from that commitment later on in the process? Come on now. You know, I think they've done a tremendous job with Carmelo, the other edge prospect, and I think that one's going to be solid as all get out from now until then. I don't think you're going to see much movement. But if things don't go or all the things they've agreed to make sure that everything gets happen, like if that doesn't come true, of course he's going to look. You know, you're going to have to take care of all these players, but some have the money on hand to do it right now. Say, boom, come on, give me a commitment. While Ole Miss can say, look, Ole Miss isn't as big as Oregon. Ole Miss isn't as big as LSU, but Ole Miss has been front leading the NIL space. A lot of this high school recruiting is going back to the old days, and now Ole Miss is having to adjust, and it has. It's been preparing for it, but it's not like it has the money on hand of Nike money from Oregon, right? So just keep that in mind, that a lot of what you were used to following and all the things that you used to pay attention to with high school recruiting have come back because that's where the Wild West is returning to, where it's been the Wild West and the transfer portal. And really for all operation for the last 5 years, there is some regulatory stuff coming down the pike specifically for NIL and the Grove Collective. Like I believe the Grove Collective is folding into the university. I don't buy this whole, we're going to be operating as normal from this point. I don't think Ole Miss even knows what the new normal is. And no one does. You know, I don't knock them for it. They're just saying, we'll wait and see, and we're going to operate operationally, and we'll change when we do. But, like, I don't believe they're operating anywhere close to the way they have been for the last 5 years because they don't know. No one does. But what we do know is the trickle down from all of this. We didn't expect the Wild West to be law and order town within, you know, like a couple of weeks. Where it's all really, where you're seeing it the most now, that impact immediately with all the new guardrails for whatever they're worth is in high school, and the numbers are huge. They're bigger than they've ever been, right? I mean, some of the numbers I think I know for certain players, if I told you, you'd go, really? I don't know if I'd want to pay that for that guy right now. I get it. That's a part of the consideration, Ole Miss fan, for the coaches who paid the big bucks to make these kind of decisions, you know? So just keep all of that in mind, man. But for me, I missed that part of high school. Like, for the last 5 years, a big part of the lifeblood of not just for the college football fan, but for what we do, Bill, was this piece, the high school piece, because this is how you used to build your entire roster out. This is what you did. You did it in high school and you claimed the rights for 3 years. If you transferred, you had to get a waiver. Like it was almost impossible. But now it's not like that. There are options beyond that. And the money now and what the demand is now for so-and-so. Like Ole Miss got Deshaun Womack on a discounted rate. Now is Deshaun Womack, who transferred from LSU, the player that everyone thought he was going to be coming out of high school? Not yet. five-star guy, but I'm telling you, Pete Golden loves that guy. And Pete Golden believes in his ability to get the Deshaun Womack a five-star history out of him more so than LSU. And you believe him because look at what he's done, right? Like, I mean, there's a method to all of this madness, even with so much deregulation and everyone kind of flying by the seat of their pants. Just understand that you've got a coaching staff that has been preparing and knows exactly what it's trying to do. Ole Miss is not, I wouldn't say, they are missing on some. They've missed on some, but that's just going to happen. But the idea that they're behind the eight ball or anything is could not be further from the truth. And that's what I want people to keep clear. I'm not saying that every kid that commits somewhere else is going to be an Ole Miss Rebel come December. What I am saying, however, is Ole Miss is still going to get its fair share. And there's going to be at least two or three, maybe four or five guys that could be committed or committed to other schools between now and end of summer that I believe will sign with Ole Miss in December. And that sounds insane, but does it really if you go back and look at old recruitments? That would have been like commonplace. That's flip season. Remember those days? When you're plugged in every single day to this stuff? It's different, but it's reverting back to that, which is fun because for us, that is what the lifeblood is. Now, you mentioned safety. Craig Tutt, we report on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Fleet of On Three. Ole Miss leads for that kid. I think they're going to land him sooner rather than later, and they're building a ridiculously good defensive back class. Offensive line is a struggle, and that speaks not just to lack of money on him, but also, you know, John Garrison's got to pick it up, and I think he knows that. I think this is a prove-it year. Yes, it's a big deal that Ole Miss had no staff change and all those kind of things, but John Garrison, you're up, man. You got to get some stuff done. But Craig Tutt, I mean, just because he's not from Mississippi, just because he's from Murfreesboro instead of, you know, Amory, doesn't make him any less a more important land than or any less of an important land than whoever you're in love with in state, be it Nolan Wilson, Emmanuel Tucker, whatever. Just remember those things because this is it's back to what we wanted, what made it so fun and got us all in this together and paying attention all day, every day. But also, it's going to be more chaotic than it has been for the past 5 years. The past 5 years have been different because a lot of the emphasis was taken off high school guys because you just didn't get the same return on investment. We're talking dollars and cents. We're talking revenue streams, right? And the return on your investment for high school players just wasn't what it was, especially at Ole Miss for transfer players. Now, because of what you can lock in potentially with them and tying them into contracts, if you can get them to signing day, Bill,
yep.
You got to get them to signing day. That's where it is now. Like, all right, well, between now and so, I need this. We don't have this right now. Well, I'm going to commit to so-and-so. I'm going to go commit to Oregon. So be it, right? Yep. That doesn't mean that the work stops or that Nolan Wilson, whoever it might be, doesn't say, well, if you get me to here, yeah, I'm coming right back. You know what I mean? I mean, that's all part of it now and what we were used to seeing. So stay locked in to the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Fleet of On Three. Give your business to Riverland Roofing. I promise you, if you have any are doing more and all this stuff than Riverland Roofing, RiverlandRoofing.com, 662-644-4297. There's still opportunities to give and to have a real impact on player procurement, right? But you got to get involved. You have to stay engaged and not get discouraged by the daily whims of recruiting because it is now going back to the days of, man, all right, T-minus 2 days till Tony Connor commits on ESPN, right? I wonder where he's going. We're back to those days a little bit, and that's both a good thing and a bad thing. But for me and us and what we do, it adds so much intrigue, especially when we're 9 Saturdays away from Ole Miss football. So that's my spiel. I wanted people to know, you know, like it always seems worse than it is. It always seems so much better than it actually is. Ole Miss is fine. Ole Miss is on schedule and about to land a couple of big commitments. Yeah, they've missed on some, but there is a long way to go between now and December. You got to get these high school players to signing day, and that's where the money comes in compared to once they get under the umbrella of the university. That's the ref share piece. Then the contract is binding. You know what I mean? what you sign to now, like there's actually binding contracts now. That's a huge thing. Right,
100%. Yeah, FSU just got outed on some of their language in their contracts around like injury or you know not being available and recouping money and things like that. So it's a crazy world. I mean, Craig Tutt,
it's collective bargaining without calling it collective bargaining.
Yeah, like it is. I mean, we can go on another tangent on that, but like that's the problem is that this isn't collectively bargained. So right. That's why it's still in the courts and it's still this and there's still that. man, and I'm not telling whatever about Union or this or that.
Oh, it's coming. It's just like we're all going to push against it. Like the college football community is going to push against it. Not me. I'd say roll it out tomorrow. Yeah. But it's going to take as long, however long it takes to delay it, is what, as long as it'll take, because there's enough forces to do that, right? But like all of that is coming. So what you're seeing is you're seeing, well, it is kind of, you know, negotiating and contract, little sprinkles of this. And the chaos will continue to reign until there is regulation. But for now, as the Ole Miss fan, just lean into the chaos, because Ole Miss has been front leading this entire time, and they're going to be front leading here too, even if the results and the timelines are different than you're used to seeing for the last 5 years.
Yeah, and out of all the chaos, you hope that Ole Miss can just land a franchise player, and that is why our friend at Andy Ludeke is there for you at myperfectfranchise.net. Dirty Bird in the chat said Ben needs to get involved with Andy to get a franchise in order so he can bring in the big bucks, and that's right. Give him a call, 404-973-9901, whether you're Ben Garrett or one of our listeners. You can get involved in the franchise world by reaching out to Andy Ludeke for his free services, which is consulting with you on franchise models, franchise categories, the amount of money you need to get involved at and own your own business, whether it be a big franchise model, whether it be a smaller franchise model, whether it be one with zero footprint, whether it be one with a you know, brick and mortar you know, storefront. Those are all conversations he can help you with. So go to myperfectfranchise.net to learn more. And again, if you partner with Andy Ludeke on a franchise, he will kick some money back to the Grove Collective as well. So,
well, look, here's the thing, Dirty Bird 37. You're right. Well, you know, millions get bit. Ben needs to reach out to My Perfect Franchise so he can chip in millions to recruiting. Buddy, if I ever come,
Ben has millions. He's never going anywhere close to recruiting again,
buddy. Now, you know, if Emmanuel Tucker would definitely go to Ole Miss if I had millions of dollars, but like, you know, like
retired Ben Garrett with.
If I ever come into contact with millions, yes, I will be at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium on Saturdays in a box somewhere. But, I Billy embody my family. None of them would have to pay for anything ever again. I'm a simple man. You know, I pay off my debt. I move on. And then we'll think about what we can do with the rest of it. But most importantly for me, because somebody on our board, the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, they keep asking me in the right, Ben, because I mentioned this on this show here at Talk of Champions, powered as always by Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297, RiverlandRoofing.com. I have talked about this. I'm trying to bring in Obies to New Albany. And I've talked to my guy David over there at Obie's in Oxford. But you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just Ben, stupid idiot. So, Andy, reach out to Ben, or I'll reach out to you. Let's bring Obie's to New Albany, because there is an interest in it. So that's what I'm thinking. When Dirty Bird brought up Ben needs to call Andy, I'm thinking, yeah, you're right, because the Obie's deal, we're still stuck in the mud. Like, we're spinning mud tires here. You know what I mean? We got to get the Obie's over here so we have somewhere to eat on Sunday lunch and stuff like that, right? So, yeah, Andy, Ludeke, and all of them, man, we're so thankful for them. But if I ever got millions, Dirty Bird, I'd give you a million too, man. I promise you, Dirty Bird, for being a loyal listener here to Talk of Champions, I'll hook you up too. You'll ever make me a millionaire? Guys, everybody's eating. You know what I mean? Everybody's getting fed, because I don't need like a luxury car. My car's paid off. My old shitty truck's paid off, right? But I guarantee.
Get a new window.
Yeah, I would get a new window. Oh, who parks in the outfield of a home run derby?
You and Keith Carter, apparently.
Keith Carter. Keith did it too. Keith was like, yeah, dude, I parked behind the scoreboard. I said, I'm going to be honest, Keith, it makes me feel better. You know, it was like people are used to Ben doing dumb stuff. But for Keith to do it too, that made me feel better. I was like, oh, well, you should have known better too. But, of course, he lives a charmed life. He parked behind the scoreboard with his pretty truck, my old F-150, buddy. It got pelted. Smoked. Still haven't gotten the dang thing fixed either. Only have one working windshield wiper too, Bill. But I'm going to tell you, it's a beast. It's got me through some monsoons here the last couple of days. It's hung in there, you know. But Andy, let's bring Obie's, Andy, to New Albany. And then, yeah, maybe that'll be what turns the worm for Ole Miss and Emmanuel Tucker in the summer.
We do have a question from Joe King in the chat, and we appreciate Javon Campbell and Jerry Moore from jumping in there, from NOLA and Pascagoula, as always. Joe asks, how many high school running backs do you expect the staff to sign? And right now, we've got them signing Demarius Yates, who is committed to them, the four-star running back, top 150 prospect nationally. You talk about keeping the best in Mississippi home. That is Demarius Yates at the running back position. He's on the cusp of being a top 10 running back in America. I saw him at Under Armour New Orleans, really talented player. Like, has I think there's a world where he ends up playing around 5'10", 220. Like, he just looks like he's going to have the frame to add it on. And his backfield partner in this class is definitely going to be that big of a back. And that's Jamichael Jones from where? Pike Road.
Where?
Yeah. Where? Pike Road. Jamichael Jones is, I think, somebody that is a little slept on nationally. I'm not just saying that because he's committed to Ole Miss, but I feel like his contact balance running the football, when you watch him on tape, if you throw up his huddle, after this podcast or whenever you're done, and I'll try to get it on the screen here for you in just a second. But, you know, what he brings to the running back room, I think, is something that is underrated when evaluating these high school running backs. He's able to take a hit, bounce off it, and keep rolling. And also, just as importantly, is finish falling forward. Those extra yard or two that you could see. And he's got a little bit of breakaway speed too, but this is a really, really good running back addition for this room. And, you know, we're going to end on a bright spot, Ben. I mean, Jamichael Jones and Demaryius Yates, this is two of the best running backs in the country, and they form one of the best running back rooms tandem-wise in the 2026 recruiting cycle. So there's some reason to be excited about Ole Miss's future running the football with these guys joining the backfield with guys like Shekhi Mills-Knight and Kawan Lacy.
Dude, I love Ole Miss's running backs room, and that's something we've been talking about, the Ole Miss spirit too. I love what they're doing in high school recruiting. I think Ole Miss has learned from last year. We'll see if they've learned all of the hard lessons from last year, like don't put a wide receiver in the most important game of the year as your starting running back. We'll see if they've learned that, but I think they have more depth of options this year. The thing that really hurt them when they were trying to replace Quinshon and build back for next year is, one, they expected Ulysses, or they didn't trust Ulysses Bentley quite as much as they used to because of the injury and all that kind of stuff. And Rashad Amos couldn't provide them much of anything. Dominic Thomas was, he's still on the roster, but like limited in what he is. Logan Diggs wasn't healthy. There was too much uncertainty in that room. And they really addressed that specifically in the transfer portal with Kawan Lacy. Logan Diggs being healthy is important. Shekhi Mills-Knight, I know from talking to a number of sources close to the program, like, they love this kid. He's every bit of 6'3", 6'4". Looks like he's going to contribute very, very early. They have more depth of options. Stacey Reed, go ahead and call it with Decker. We win another natty. I'm not there yet. If Hunter Elliott comes back, if they're able to act, and that's a realistic thing, okay? Because Hunter could get drafted high enough. He's been trying to go pro, and, like, he has no leverage. So if he gets drafted in the MLB draft, like, there's going to be a temptation, like, this is the best it's going to be for you, sign, right? But in the new world of NIL and all these kind of things, Ole Miss is one of the few programs in the country. Now, the other ones can really pay top dollar, too. Like, Ole Miss has to guarantee all of its 30-whatever-4 scholarships just like the other schools do, and that should be a benefit. But the teams they're competing against that others don't are already doing that, too. So, you know, like, what really could contribute to a natty next year is less Dom Decker in the transfer portal. Big add for them. Hit 351 last year. Not much of a power threat. 18 doubles, though. A real table setter in front of the power guys. If you can bring Hunter back, though, he doesn't have any leverage, and he might think this is the best earning potential I have for the next level. You could probably meet that, if not get close enough to it, to make him go, all right, well, I'll just start it next year because, honestly, this is what it is. Then might as well run it back and have a statue built right next to Tim Elko this time next year if you do win a natty. Then we're really cooking with gas here, talking about what Ole Miss can be next year if you bring him back with Judd Utermark, with Will Furness. I don't expect Mason Morse back. I think he's going to get drafted high enough. Same with Luke Hill. They want Luke Hill back too. Of course they do. But Luke's expected to be drafted in the top three rounds or so and sign a pretty nice lofty deal. And congratulations to him if and when he does, because Luke Hill, tremendous story, and became such a leader for Ole Miss baseball. I think next year they're going to be every bit as good as they were this year, if not a little bit better, for as far as pitching depth. Because last year, they won 43 games and hosted a regional for the first time since 2021, fell one run shy of hosting their first Super since 2009. But the strategy of – it was correct when I've said this before, Mike, resting Hunter Elliott to try to get out 2-0 in your regional. It's the only real way to get out of it. Holding him for Saturday, hoping that one of your veteran guys, Riley Maddox, who you went with, can give you one of those stabilizing, like – dominant postseason efforts to really put yourself in that catbird seat. Well, now you have more options. It's not just Riley Maddux. I mean, really, it was Riley or nobody that could make that move with. This year, you could do it with Grant Richardson, Will Liberatt, any of these signees, because they're all top-end transfer portal guys that are going to compete for weekend spots. But if one or two or three of them don't work out, you still have a depth of three or four more guys that could be options for you and really emerge. And we're not even talking about Cade Townsend yet, who is going to be a top-end rotation arm for Ole Miss, you know, as early as next year. I mean, really came along toward the end of last year. I think they have a basis and a foundation for an even better team. And last year, they won 43 games, right? Already without bringing back Hunter Elliott. If you bring back Hunter Elliott, because I think he's one of three or four wins, yeah, I think hosting again, hosting a super, getting back to Omaha, all those kind of things. Ole Miss would really be cooking. Jerry Moore, bold prediction, Rebel basketball, men and women, Final Four. I would buy one of them, maybe.
It's bold. That's the key.
And I was sitting by Chris Beard and Matthew Morrell for my anniversary dinner with my wife. And it was a delightful just to sit and talk to him and hang out with him. I'll just never forget when Chris goes, man, if we'd have just had you, Matt, as a healthy Matt Morrell. We got to the Sweet 16 with Matt playing on one leg. And I'm like, they really were a lot closer, guys, to advancing out of the Sweet 16 than we even give them credit for. So I buy it, especially with this roster. It looks pretty dead gum good. I really like what they got, you know. And it just made a really good point when Chris said that. When I'm listening, I'm like, you know what? Look how far they went with their player who led them in scoring for back-to-back years, playing on one leg. And the depth that they had, and I think they're just as deep, if not a little bit deeper this year with what they got done in the portal. So maybe, and look, women have been knocking on that door for year after year after year, Bill. So let's go. Maybe they break down the door. I love the boldness though, Jerry. I love that boldness. I'll have what you're having, but I like the boldness.
Awesome. Well, look, guys, we appreciate all of you guys hanging out with us on this edition of Talk of Champions, a live Monday. This is a huge week for us at the Ole Miss Spirit. Mm. So sign up today for just $1 for your first week. Join the fun. I'm telling you, On3 Rivals merger happens. We're really excited about bringing on so many national names, people that I've known in the industry for years, Sam Spiegelman, John Garcia, Greg Smith.
Love John Garcia, man. Yeah. That's my dude. Yeah. Like the old scout days, Bill. Old scout days.
Yeah. So this is huge for the site. If you're at the Ole Miss Spirit, nothing changes for us. So really excited about that. And look, we'll just be welcoming a whole bunch of new Ole Miss fans to the site. So looking forward to that. And if you have any questions about that, feel free to reach out to us. And of course, reach out to our friends, Riverland Roofing, for all your roofing needs. And look, they support Ole Miss. You should support them as well. 662-644-4297. For Ben Garrett, I'm Billy Umbody. Have a great Monday, everyone. And we'll see you on the site this afternoon when some big news breaks in recruiting. Talk to you later.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.